Lord a prayer, and then we'll start with 3, 4 steps. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for this little bit of time. Pray that you would take and use it to work on our hearts and minds. That you would cleanse us and refresh us. That you would reason with us, Lord, and that you would, if we've gone off north, Lord, that you would nudge us back in the right direction. We really do need you, Father. I pray for Lynn and Frank, for Charlotte and Colin, for Pat and Steve, Christine and Mary Ann, especially for Reggie and William at this particular time, Lord. You know, the needs are great across the world, especially, Lord, even in our little part. Please put your good hand upon the folks in Drumahoe and Civvy and Strathfoyle and Maydown and Eglinton and Drumahoe. Lord, these folks that have been reached out to that have had leaflets put in doors, Lord, that are slowly seeing their freedom stripped away, I pray, Lord, they would seek the freedom that only you can provide. Love you and praise you. Please guide us this evening, and I pray that you would find our praises and prayers and the rest of the service acceptable in your sight, Father. We love you and thank you. Amen. All right. Redeemed. 246.
We're looking in the Bible tonight to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel the song of the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath been thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare my habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host have been cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom of it as a stone. The right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. The right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the goodness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. With the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as in a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy says, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, and my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious and holiness? Who is from praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. People shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold of the inhabitants of Palestine. Then the Jews of Edom shall be amazed, the mighty men of Moab trembling shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away, fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone, till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. The horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing to ye to the Lord, for ye have triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider have been thrown into the sea. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found the water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast in the waters were very sweet. Then he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and then he proved them, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commands, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon thee, which are brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And the camp of Edom, where there were 12 wells of water, and 310 pantries, and they encamped out by the waters. Amen. Amen.
It's okay to sing and praise the Lord. And even to have a wee Christian dance, but none of the sound nonsense that most folks pass for singing and dancing these days. Just wanted to remind you about our prayer list. Make sure you get one. Please do. If you don't get any farther than the first page, please do pray for me. I certainly appreciate it. I certainly need it. Did I say appreciate it? I certainly need it. Please do remember private prayer requests. I know we all have them. That's for you, Will and Norman and Monica and myself. Line 2. I know Pat and Steve have private prayer requests, so please do remember them as well. There's a lot going on. Keep your eyes on the Lord. And when everybody else's lives are falling away, you'll still stand on the solid rock. Just remember that the Lord will never let you down and he'll never let you go. A lot of people are going to find out in the very near future just how badly off they are without Christ. Don't forget to be there to point them in the right direction. Not with an I told you so, but with a God loves you so. Amen. All right, let's pray. Well, would you lead us, and then we'll sing another song.
Dear Father, thank you for the safe and security of your house tonight, Lord. May our prayers, worship us, prayers, and also, Lord, praise us, Lord, by simply saying, Lord, you offer an humble heart, let's eat there, let's cover God and send your spirit among us, Lord, and shows us from like Luke through Mark the will that the message you've given us tonight, Lord, and may you use to enrich our lives, Lord, and stretch us and give us more power, Lord, and draw us a closer walk with you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Remember our world, Lord, give your personal church, remember the wellness club, claim the church in Ethiopia, beautiful family, Lord.
Yes,
convict those people that they killed it, Lord, save them mightily and powerfully, Lord, and also strengthen the church that's there, Lord. And Lord, use your power, Lord, it's only you can do, Lord. Give the people over in Pakistan, Lord, a prison free. For being Christians, Lord, and help them, Lord, meet their needs, Lord. Lift them in trouble, Lord, bless them and keep them. We also know the Chinese church, Lord, help them, give them meet their needs also, Lord, and bless them, give them, and do so powerfully, slay them in their eyes, Lord, and say so to my name in China as well, Lord. We also thank, Lord, and may you see a blessing as well, Lord. Beautiful all the churches for the land that preach the preach Christ crucified honorably and truly, Lord, according to your word, Lord. And that see souls mightily saved, Lord, and be written in the last book of life and be dated tonight, Lord, both in this land and throughout the world, and especially in the States as well, Lord. Give us this day, Lord, and keep us safe and bless our service for Jesus Christ again.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Will. Let's take those hymn books out again. Hymn number 370. 370, Throughout the Lifeline. Next week, 369. I know the Bible is true. Let's stand as we sing, Throughout the Lifeline.
Father, Father, Lord, who came.
Number 21. Just whenever we were saying number 20, I thought, 21's a good one. Oh, love the club, I've let me go. Number 21 will remain seated as we sing, and then after this we get to open another book. Get to open the book. Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. We're in Judges chapter 3. And I want to... It's amazing the thoughts go through your head, and I hope and pray you'll see as we read on about the biggest challenge. Judges chapter 3, the biggest challenge. And I don't know how many verses we're going to read, but we are... Yeah, we're going to read a few of them anyway. Let's start. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know, to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing of thereof. Namely, five lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites and the Sidonians, and the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon, from Mount Baal Hermon unto the entering in of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam and the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Chushan-Rishathaim. You're quite all right. That is actually the part of the title. Chushan-Rish. I have this down right. Chushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, and the children of Israel, we should actually take a turn apiece at saying this name, because I think it's mentioned 3 or 4 times. And the children of Israel served Chushan Rishathaim 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Chushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed against Chushan Rishathaim. And the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. And of course, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel, because they have done evil in the sight of the Lord. And we're going to stop there. The biggest challenge, whenever we read that little portion of God's word, we might think the biggest challenge was that, does anybody want to give it a shot on public record? Chushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. Does anyone want to give it a shot for the crack?
Go ahead.
You want to give it a shot?
I can say it in my heart. Chushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia.
Very good, very good.
I heard you say it.
Monica is so used to listening to me and doing what I say, she listens very carefully, word for word. At least as far as Chushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, goes. As I was reading that, I looked at it, and his name takes up like 3/4 of a full line. And his whole title takes up a line and a half. And I thought, that is some mouthful. That sounds like the biggest challenge whenever you read this portion of God's word. But that's not the whole thought. Let's pray again, and then we'll continue on. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for that new song. I think it was Will about the Bible, or Norman about the Bible. Somebody, and I pray you, Father, for another favorite to be inducted into the ranks of Bethel's favorites. Please bless us as we spend this time in your word. And please minister to us individually, Lord. You know all of our needs. And I pray that you would provide us comfort, strength, patience, chastening, victory. But Lord, wisdom. But Lord, you know what each one of us needs, and I pray that you would supply that. I pray for all those that are out there in the world, Lord. I pray for our country's leaders. I pray for the leaders of other countries, Lord. And I pray you, please, Father, that you would constrain them at every turn to do the right thing. Lord, that you would, and I know that you have, and so many of them have been constrained and had their conscience pricked so many times, Lord, that it has become hardened, and they refuse to listen. Please, Lord, show yourself to be still the God of this world and the God of every world, and that your people are still in the business of serving you and seeing souls saved. Bless us now, I pray you, Father. Help us and keep us. And we love you and thank you. Amen. Just in case that happens again, I will do what I say to other people and put my phone on airplane mode. There we go. Right, I'm not going to read that again, but I am going to give your man another go. Chushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. There you go. That was my biggest challenge for that portion of God's word. But for by that, the bit that everyone will remember that it started with a Chu and it ended up in Amia. But I challenge you to give it a go. And one of the only reasons that I can do that is it's broken up in my Bible and it takes you through a Bible at a time. I want to bring you the story of Judges and the things by which God tested his people. He had done so much for them. This is maybe 50, 60 years, not a long time in the grand scheme of things, after God had taken the children of Israel out of Egypt, after he had gotten through the wilderness for 40 years, feeding them and watering them, after he had brought them across the Red Sea and then brought them across the Jordan, and then even promised to them after like years and years and years of proving that he's God and giving them victory after victory. He promised them, this is the promised land. There is, however, a proviso. I'm not going to wipe out everybody right now because I don't want the whole place to go to rack and ruin. They're going, you want the place tended to so that when you take their cities are intact. Their flocks are intact. Their monies, their riches are there, such as the ones that you're allowed to keep. However, children of Israel, they thought they were home, but they weren't quite there yet. And this is a thing that I suffer from. Norman will probably tell you. When we're working on, like when we're working here, every day that we advance a step, a little bit of me said, we're finished now. Whenever we were working in here, it was nice to see the everything done, and with every advance and every improvement, there was a wee bit of me said, we're finished. And that same wee bit was disappointed. We had to come in the next day, just a little bit, and continue on to make it perfect. And that's in me, and I have to catch a grip of it. You can be sure that's in everybody. And if people don't get catch a grip of it, nothing will ever be completed. It'll be half a job. And that would be me, unfortunately. Because I tend not to take into account the tidying up and the packing away and the finishing touches. That's just me. The children of Israel were exactly like me in that regard. They had seen God. They knew people that had seen God. They knew of the victories that had been won, impossible victories. And God said, this is what God actually said. I'm not going to wipe everybody out. You guys need to know how to fight. You need to know how to take care of yourselves. That's what he actually says in verse number 2. So I am leaving some people here to test your mettle, to toughen you up with. And he left the five lords of the Philistines, the Canaanites, the Sidonians, the Hivites, and even the Amorites, Perizzites, and Jebusites in verse number 5. Left them all there to temper the children of Israel. To make them know, or to let them know, these are the peoples that need to be resisted. These are the peoples that need to be conquered. And that means you're going to have to knuckle too. You're going to have to toughen yourselves up. You're going to have to learn how to fight. And that, friends, is something that we as Christians have forgotten in these days. We tend to think of Christianity as everybody, oh, God bless you and have a good time and don't worry about that. Let everything slide. God lets everything slide. We'll let everything slide. And you can do whatever you like. And you know, just whatever's right for you. That's not Bible-believing Christianity, friends. That's some of these feel good, do the best you can, get to heaven, and God will judge your good deeds against your bad, and you'll get in. That's not Christianity. But anyway, God said, God left these people here. And sure enough, the children of Israel, instead of opposing them, instead of rejecting their teachings, they embraced them. I wrote it down. What was it? They, first of all, they tolerated it. And then they accepted it. And then they adopted it as their very own behavior. To such an extent, as far as the locals were concerned, there was no difference between the children of Israel and the locals. And that's the problem with people getting saved in this day and age. They believe that there's no difference between Christians and lost people, and there is. The Bible says they actually married their daughters, the daughters of these wicked pagans, and they gave their own daughters into the families of these wicked pagans, not even caring the effect that that would have on the next generation. And verse number 7 pretty much says it got that bad that the children went about and served the devil, Balaam. Balaam being like a short name for Baal, or a longer name for Baal. Now, one of the reasons that it puts down there was none of the old guard there. Even, if anyone recalls to mind, whenever the children of Israel came over the Jordan, they took rocks out of the riverbed, and they set them up on the riverbank stacked on top of each other. And do you know what God said for the reason why? So that whenever your children come by this way and see this stack of rocks, and we're not talking about wee rocks about the size of a breeze block. These guys were bruisers. They just spent 40 years getting toughened up in the desert. They lifted boulders. And they sat them there. It wasn't something you were going to walk past, but they were never told. And it was never emphasized enough that it was God that delivered us, and then it was God that delivered this land to us. And we are going to follow his rules and his commandments. We are going to offer up our prayers and our sacrifices, and we will allow God to continue working in our lives. They never did that. Because as soon as all the old guard was gone, they were gone. As soon as the people in authority that had seen God's miracles were gone, they were gone. And so God raised up Shushan, Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, to give them a hiding, basically. To grab them by the ear and to stick his toe up their rear end, and to give them a wee bit of a waking up moment, i.e., if you want to be like everybody else, well then, you can be like everybody else. I will remove my blessings, I will remove my protection and my provision, and you just be treated like everybody else. And not only that, he raised up this man, the king of Mesopotamia, to go and sort them out. To give them a wee taste of what it's like to be everybody else. And I want to tell you something, friends. It's not pleasant being everybody else. The difference between having Christ in your heart, having repented of your sins, and walking a different path, it's not like wandering blindly out in the world, trying to make sense of everything that's going on. How many people do you think are walking about today wondering what exactly is going on, how they're going to make ends meet, and what the end game in all of this is? Even how many people sit in churches tonight wondering what's going on in the world? I would hope and pray that I have brought enough messages from the Bible, literally messages from 2,000 years ago, for you to know that this is in the Bible. Hard times. They're in the Bible for everybody, and they're just a taste of the judgments that are coming that will judge all those that reject Christ as their Savior in the world, even to death. Anyway, what do the children of Israel do whenever God gives them a hard time? What should all children do when their parents give them a chastening? They should say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Will you please forgive me? And I want to be in your good graces again. Now, if a child, I don't know if you've ever come across it, but if a child says, I'm sorry, that means they're not. But if they say, I'm sorry, mommy, or I'm sorry, daddy, that normally means that they are sorry. Children of Israel said that, only their sorry was more like, oh Lord, please forgive us. We can see exactly where we are right now, and it's not the same place as it was whenever you were our God and you were fighting our corner for us. Does anyone remember Caleb, one of the spies that went out into the promised land? He went into Jericho, if memory serves. Well, this was his nephew, Othniel. And God said, Othniel, I want you. And he raised him up, and he fired him up, and he provisioned him, and he leaned the hearts of the children of Israel to this Othniel, and he went out and fought against him and took the kingdom. Killed him, took him. And the people followed God for 40 years. 40 years. That's a generation, and that's pretty much long enough for people to forget all about what God has done, which is pretty much what happened whenever Othniel died. And then the people said, oh, thank goodness, he's gone. We can start behaving like everybody else again. We can drink and we can carry on. And this was my first title for this message was Yo-Yos. Because that's literally what they're like. One minute they're up, next second they're down, then they're back up, then they're down again, then they're up, and then they're down. Or trampoline, something that involves going up and down. I know there's a lot of reasons for this, and in all honesty, the reasons haven't changed in the past 3,500 years. The first one I would have to put down to church attendance. People not turning up at church. That's always, always. It might not be the first thing that's wrong, but it's one of the first signs that things are going wrong. People don't go to church. They are afraid. They're either not able, and that's understandable. But the people that don't come to church are afraid of being reminded of their sin. And so they don't come. And they keep indulging in their sin, lack of church attendance. And if there's no church attendance, then there's a lack of preaching. And again, if there's no church attendance, then there's lack of an example of what God can do for a person that trusts him. And if there's no church attendance, there's no fellowship. There's no gathering together to sing God's praises. There's no thanks. Hey, God did this for me. And people think, well, if God does that for him, and I knew what he was like before he was saved, maybe if I got right with God, God could help me out there as well. Encourage them. And if there's no church attendance, there tends not to be any outreach either. People are not encouraged to go out. They're maybe just glad that their own six is covered, their own tail's covered, and they're glad of the comfort and the peace. And if there's no church attendance, there's no tithing. There's no offerings. There's no helping. Because there's nothing there for people to contribute to and to help with. And if there's no church attendance, maybe there's no Sunday school, and then there's no passing on of the teachings to the next generation. And I read an excellent little post on Facebook, and it goes something like this. If mummy and daddy aren't bothered by church, then their children won't care about church. And then their children won't even know about church. And then their children will be the people that we're living with today. Out and out pagans that have no notion of a God or consequences and think that they're entitled to everything that their grandparents had to fight tooth and nail for. And that is not the way it works. A lot of people today are going to find out that they have no right to anything. No right to their freedom, no freedom of speech, no food unless the government supplies it, no heating, no light, no running water, no mobile phones. In fact, you know what? I think a lot of people would be happy if they got an MRE and a mobile phone charge every day. They're that addicted to these things. If there's no scriptures, there's none of God's promises are made available to people. If there's no church, it wasn't like everybody could take a Bible home and read it. If there's no scriptures, there's none of God's warnings, but there's none of God's promises. And there's none of God's prophecies. And then there's no notion of any consequences. There's also no power, because people don't know to depend upon the scriptures. And there's no grit. People are not prepared to stand up against the world because they haven't heard the scriptures. And they don't even know that there is the greatest purpose of all, the one that God had when he walked among us, to seek and to save those that are lost. A lot of times today we spend too long not looking at sin. We stay in the company of sin, but we don't look at it. He said, I know sin's there, and I'm going to spend the rest of the day not looking at sin. Instead of saying, well, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and I'll have accomplished that, and I will kill two birds with one stone. I will get all of those things done, and I won't even have considered sin. Instead of doing something else, we don't do bad things. It's a little bit like pulling the weeds in the garden. If you don't put something good in their place, they'll come back. And if you don't do something good with your brain that sin wants to try and weed its way in, well then, it'll always be there. You spend all that time thinking about the thing that you're not supposed to be thinking about. Does that make sense to you? You get the idea. Anyway, a lot of these folks were looking around and thinking, these guys are having fun times. And these guys, you know what, they're partying every night. And as soon as they finish work, they're off down to the pub. They're off to the disco, or the equivalent back in the day. And I have a thought on that. That if people actually stopped for an hour and didn't have TV to watch, the local network was down, and they had to literally sit and consider where their lives are. It would scare the living daylights out of them. And you have a wee girl that, she was young in the Lord, but she still hadn't got over this thing of needing to be entertained all the time. She needed to, whenever she had a day off, she needed to be entertained. She needed to do something. Otherwise, she might actually have to be bored, and her mind might actually have to go to the things that she should be doing to shore up her Christian walk with God. And that's what a lot of people do. I heard somebody say, you owe it to your children to let them get bored. In other words, to kickstart that little engine in there, I think we call it imagination. Or self-starting, I think they call it when you write it on your job application. I'm a self-starter. We owe it to people to give them a little bit of space and time to consider their lives. And not just to be running helter-skelter. Because if you look at the souls, I'm going out tonight and I'll be drinking with my friends on Friday night and going to the disco. I'm going to tell you, I knew a guy that worked in the Bank of Ireland. They used to lodge with me. So you're going back about 25 years, maybe more. Maybe nearly 30 years. And he was from Lurgan. I don't recall how he got my address, but the word was out there that I had three rooms to let, and I let them. He was my best lodger. He was a fearsome alcoholic. And he partied all weekend. But he did it up in Lurgan. He went home every Friday. I never saw him from Friday morning until Monday night. And he spent the whole weekend wide awake, drinking and partying with his girlfriend. And he came up on Monday and he went to bed on Monday because he was hammered. He was done out. And he went to bed early on Tuesday. And on Wednesday he was coming round a wee bit and you might see him a bit after tea time. And on Thursday, he was in great form again, completely recovered from his weekend. And on Friday, he did it all again. And I had the house to myself. Never bothered with him at all. But that's what most of the world is doing. And if they were to stop, if they were told, you're going to a desert island, you can take one book, here's a saw and whatever else, I could guarantee you there'd be no time for drinking. There'd be no time for doing drugs. There'd be no time for picking out the best fashions. There'd be no time for seeing which girl on your dating app you're going to be hooking up with tonight, or what fella you're going to be hooking up with tonight. You'd be thinking about serious things. What happens if I die? What am I going to do? What am I going to do with those great periods of time that I can't do anything? Or the weather's terrible. I can't turn the internet on. There's no Amazon movies or Netflix. People today work really, really hard at not thinking about their eternities. Have you ever noticed that? The amounts of money they spend not thinking about their eternity. And that is why the Bible promises you and I that only God can give the peace that the world can't give. The world giver gives forgetfulness, but God gives forgiveness. And there is a difference. You might be able to forget about your sins, soul, that is engaged in all these things to blot out the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but God never forgets about it. Not until the shed blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, is applied to your account are your sins ever forgiven. A lot of people work really, really hard. And yet again, even from a purely secular point of view, they never think about spending the rest of their life suffering from COPD and the end of their life gasping for a breath in this country, which probably has the freshest air in the whole of the UK. They drink and they party and they never give a thought to, is this going to be the last time my liver successfully cleans the alcohol, burns the alcohol out of my blood? Is this going to be the final time that the alcohol burns a track through the coating on my stomach or my esophagus and burns right the way through? Or they go out sleeping with different people here, there and everywhere, and it looks wonderful on the TV and it's encouraged on the TV, but there's never a thought given to the diseases that can be picked up and how they can actually affect you for the rest of your life, even shorten your life. All these things sometimes look very desirable. Especially to the saved folks. The bright lights, the loud noises, people smiling and laughing. The biggest challenge to the children of Israel back then and us today was not the hordes of Shushan Rishathaim, the king of Mesopotamia. It wasn't him and his armies. If you were to read on a wee bit, it wasn't Eglon and his armies of Moab that give the children of Israel a kick in shortly before he was sorted out as well. It's not even saying Shushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, as you read the scriptures. That's not our biggest challenge. And it's not even the devil himself. If he landed outside in the Maboy Road, I could guarantee you every one of us here would be on fire believers for the Lord Jesus Christ, willing to sell our lives if the devil was out there with all the hordes of demons after him. Because we would know for certain and see with our own eyes and have confirmed in our hearts that there is a real battle to be fought. The biggest challenge we have every day is catching a grip of ourselves and stopping ourselves from saying and doing stupid things and being in the wrong place. And then doing the right things to shore ourselves up. Committing a verse of scripture to memory. Making a covenant with God. God, I am going to be faithful in my whatever it is you're going to be faithful in. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to make a point of it because I love you. And I need it, Lord. And just like the Lord said to the children of Israel, you stick with me and I'll bless you and I'll keep you. I'll give you victory over your enemies. I'll give you the peace that passeth all understanding, the overcoming power, all these things. Literally, I will dump them in your lap if you stay with me. If you make a point of serving me. Not just an accidental Christian or a handy Christian or a convenient Christian, but a Christian that will literally overcome obstacles to be where they should be and to do what they should do. I'm going to tell you, it's a war that's always on. I know I've shared with you over the past couple of years that whenever I was in hospital, I ended up watching a lot of kit building and painting. I think it might have been therapeutic. Videos on YouTube. And today it was on the run up to 3 o'clock. And there was quite literally a battle in my heart, and the Lord said, if you open your Bible now, I'll give you a message. I thought, that sounds pretty good. If you open your Bible now, start reading, I will give you a message. But on YouTube, there's a video from one of the guys that I would watch called eBay Miniature Rescues, and for some strange reason, I get a kick out of him buying stuff on eBay, painting it, and then selling it on eBay again. I get a kick out of that because I do that too. That's only without the painting. That seems like hard work. I said, I'm going to do that. But then something distracted me, and I found myself halfway through another video. I said, hold on, let me say, God said that he would give me the message if it was about 10 to 3, if I opened the Bible and started reading. So I switched the TV off, went out to the porch and opened the Bible of Judges 3, and here we are. God gave me a message. God's faithful. And sometimes the battles are that small, but they're actually that difficult. But we fail before we even realize we're in the fight. And the biggest challenge we have again is not pronouncing your man's name. I think I've said it enough, I might be able to say it without reading it. Shushan Rishathaim of Mesopotamia. I even had to read that a half a dozen times at home. That's a tricky one. That's the biggest challenge as you read this. The biggest challenge we always have is overcoming our own nature. As we watch everybody else out there in the world, they have no compunction about lying and cheating and stealing. No compunction about the immorality that they indulging on, no notion of the hurt that they're doing to their hearts and souls and minds and even their bodies. No notion. But we do. You that are saved, you do. Because the Word of God promised you when you got saved that the Holy Spirit would take up residence in your heart. When you tore your sins out of your heart, you made room for the Holy Spirit to take residence. When you repented of your sins, you rejected them. and ask Christ to be your Saviour. You got a new nature. You became a new creature, a dual nature creature. It's entirely up to you which one of those is in charge and which direction you go. Sometimes I liken myself to the captain of a very small boat that floats on top of a sometimes stormy sea. And that sea is all the thoughts and options that I have in my life. And me as the captain of this little boat, or maybe more accurately, the fisherman in that little boat, I choose what fish I pull up out of that sea. I have the choice as to what thoughts I act upon and what deeds I do. And that is our biggest challenge. Always make sure we do what God will be happy with. And it's not easy sometimes. Because a lot of times we get the impression from TV, and I don't know who I was talking to, I hear it when they say on TV, you deserve this. You're owed this. You really should have that in your truth. If you want to see me start grinding my teeth, you start putting those in the car conversations. I do not like that. But friends, that's our biggest trouble, our biggest challenge. And more often than not, it's such a subtle one that we miss it completely. And that's where all of our trouble starts, when we start listening to not that still small voice of the Holy Spirit, but that loud and raucous and thumpity-thump music and scantily clad bodies that seem to promise so much, but actually will steal everything away from you. Just like they did for the children of Israel for years and years and years. If they had had one man in each generation that stood for Christ, that stood for God, and that God demonstrated his power through that man, the children of Israel would have been grand. They were waiting for a judge to do that for themselves. Sometimes, like a lot of people, are waiting for somebody to come back and solve all their problems. But I'm telling you that all of your problems can be solved by you, between you and God. Things that are out there in the world, a lot of them will stop even being important to you. The things that really give us valor is catching a grip of ourselves. It's like throwing a bridle on a horse and pointing it in the right direction. That's really what it's like. Breaking that horse to make it do what you want it to do. And whenever we do that, we can do that. Nothing can stop us. We can literally apply our hearts and souls and minds to doing anything. And nothing can stop us. Anyway, just wanted to pass that thought to you. And just by way of completely finishing off, just want you to know that anything that you do for God, it's a bit like working for Christine Ritchie. There's always a reward in it for you. Is that not right, Mr. Wilson? You can't do anything for that woman except she wants to pay you back. God will never be your debtor. You can keep Christine Ritchie at bay, but God will be here, and I mean that in the best possible way. You can keep, God will never have you saying, I did this for God, and there was never anything that God did for me. You will find that the rewards to be had by giving that little bit of time, that little bit of effort, or even that one decision to God, far outweigh anything that you think you may have lost. And then I would hope you would be encouraged to do it again and again with bigger and bigger things. I'm stopping there. Thank you for your good time. I appreciate your attention. Guys and gal, we're going to sing a song, and we have a slot, I think. I don't think we have one. We have one picked. If anybody has one, I will entertain it.
243.
243.
Sorry, one again.
You're okay.
Victory in Jesus.
Yeah, we know that one. What was your one, Mrs. Bradley?
Mine was 222.
What's that one?
Moment by moment.
Well, we can give a shot at both of them if nobody minds. It's only 8 o'clock. That's 1 hour and 1 minute exactly. We've been preaching and singing and praising. 243 will stand as... In fact, we'll sit as we sing, and then we'll do that other one. Victory in Jesus. Let's remain seated as we sing.
Oh,
perseverance and you're sending voices and your costs. Amen. I hope you all have a good week. Look forward to seeing you all again soon. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Everything else is shifting in the sand and has never been more true than these days right now. Pray much and don't stray from the path that the Lord has set before you. God bless you. Will, would you pray and dismiss the meeting for us, please?
Dear Father, thank you for the message, Lord. And may your, our praise and our praise of your sight and our service as well, our tithes, offerings, and praises. And let them be our prayer also, may it become a sweet savour upon your kingdom, our king, throne in heaven, Lord. Pray for those people who are listening to the service tonight or today on the CD, Lord. Bless them as well, Lord. Give them a total blessing as well. And bring closer work for us also as well, Lord. We're absent ground as well. We're flying in front, Lord. Bless me, keep me safe, Lord. We're frank in the job. Bless me, keep me safe in the job. Because I'm working to protect my kind as well, Lord. Charlotte and Colin, Lord. Bring back to church. I love my angel, Lord. And help them and keep them safe as well, Lord. Bless the McMahons, bless Stephen, Colin, and John, Lord. Save our souls. Love my angel, Lord. And bring them back to church, Lord. We also remember Pat and Steve, Lord. Help Stephen and Jenna, Lord. Heal them by the power of the Lord. And draw them closer, Lord. Pray, Pat, as she gives them help, Lord, and assist them, Lord. Give her some respite. Give her some help, Lord. Pray for her as well, Lord. Pray for John as well, Lord. Help him in his age, Lord. Bless him and help him in his age, Lord, in his life, Lord. Keep him safe as well, Lord. Pray for this night, Lord. Draw us closer, walk for you, Lord. Help us and keep us restored in you, Lord. And draw us closer, walk for you, Lord. Fly on earth, fly away for Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Take hands and fellowship for a little bit.